Hello, and welcome to NANcast. I'm Jill, your host. NAN's journal, Advances in Neonatal Care, is highlighting parenting in the NICU as an upcoming special series. Thanks to our editor-in-chief, Jackie McGrath, and special guest editor of the series, Ashley Vance, the first series focuses on parental perspectives in the NICU where the voice of the parent comes through, allowing the nurse to gain a different perspective, bringing the importance of parental involvement in the NICU to the forefront. Join me today with Jackie and Ashley, as well as NICU parents Jessica Barnes and Sarah DiGregorio, as they discuss their experiences and the powerful impact our relationship with parents have on our tiny patients. Take the time to listen to these mothers' lived stories. Pause and be reflective of your own practice and reframe your thinking. We need to aspire to be intentional and mindful in our relationships with parents and families. After all, we all have the potential to completely transform a parent's experience in the NICU. With that in mind, let's get right into it. As nurses, we all know that parents not only make a difference, they are the difference, and they contribute so immensely to the outcomes of our NICU babies. There's a lot of research out there that supports that as well. However, in most publications, few are authored by parents in their own words. So as editors, what drove you to create a special series to allow the voice of the parent to come through to the readers?
Yeah, we had a large discussion at our editorial board meeting about what were the articles that people were asking for, what were they reading, what were nurses, neonatal nurses, having the most impact about. And parenting really came up as the top of that list. And we discussed, it was also driving our impact factor for advances in neonatal care, particularly articles on fathers. And so we really wanted to gather together and really think about how could we put together a call for a special series. We invited Ashley to be the guest editor for the special series because of her expertise in parenting and the way her research is looking at parenting, I think, in a different way than others who are studying research. And we made the call rather broad because we wanted to get at parenting from many different angles, many different perspectives. And we are very excited that we were actually able to engage some parents who are with us today about their perspectives about parenting, because I think that's so important and so much about what we see every day in the newborn intensive care unit.
I was so excited to be invited to be the guest editor for this series, you know, especially with my background and journey as a neonatal nurse, really engaging with families in my clinical practice and then really trying to transition that experience into research. And as I was talking with the co-editors of Advances, I also felt like it was really important to kind of make a statement or at least start these special issues with the parent voice. So really grounding kind of the experience and kind of what we're saying to NICU nurses and to other staff, really grounding it in the voice of parents. And so that was a really, really intentional decision on our part, both as like for me as the guest editor for this series, because I also feel like it then sets the stage really well when nurses are reading or other staff are reading these articles. We are not just talking about parenting in this kind of abstract way, or this is how we're approaching it from a research perspective, but we really are thinking about how we're engaging and partnering with parents. And so really setting the stage with that, like upfront, having parents, you know, provide the introduction to both of these special issues, I think also is a really important and valuable way to kind of send that message in a different way.
Yeah, and I wanted to add that we had almost 3 dozen inquiries about submissions, and we received almost 2 dozen submissions. In this first issue, we will have 5 articles, and we have 8 in the second issue. So it's really exciting to see the impact about how people feel about it. And I think readers are going to find how different each of the articles are and how they look at parenting differently, and even our parents and their perspectives in how they encountered parenting in the NICU.
Yeah, and I will just say, with those calls, I think both for Jesse and Sarah, they were even ones that reached out to us. So it was definitely something that this call was so broad that it even reached families, and then they were interested and kind of connected with us as well. And so I think that also is a nice point that other people are kind of seeing this and like interested in how we're talking to nurses and how we're kind of communicating this information. So with that, I would almost turn it over to Jesse and or Sarah. Like, I would love to hear from you guys, like when you saw this or when you were approached about potentially writing something for this special issue, you know, what was it that really motivated you guys to want to contribute?
As a NAN member, and being in as a neonatal educator, and I've been a NICU nurse for 12 years, I saw it and saw it as my opportunity to share my experience being both a professional and a parent in this setting, and realizing, okay, we're able to listen. We're ready to listen to the good and the bad of what it is that we can facilitate for these families and how to constantly improve and be better. As a nurse, I strove for that all the time. I wanted to connect with my families and make it the best experience that they could have, while understanding that it's also going to be one of the worst experiences they might have in their life. And so trying to make it the best I could. And having walked through those shoes with my daughter well into my career was a little bit eye-opening for me, and the opportunities that we have for development.
It's interesting for me because I'm a journalist, and so I think of myself often as speaking to the public and trying to educate the public about healthcare issues. But it's been really, and I think when I first started writing about healthcare, I assumed that healthcare providers already knew everything that I could know, and I never imagined that healthcare providers would be interested or want to read what I was writing. I really thought of myself as writing for the public or writing for other NICU parents. And it's been incredibly gratifying, actually, to make connections with providers around this, and also to hear that providers do find it really useful to hear from parents, and also that there's a value in sort of translating some of what happens, you know, and really thinking about it in a holistic way, and writing for both audiences. And so I was very grateful to have this opportunity. And I have, as I've sort of grown into this part of my career, it has been very gratifying for me to hear that it is useful for providers to hear from parents. And so, you know, anytime I'm given the opportunity to do that, I feel like it's a big responsibility, and I want to offer both what I see as the incredible power of neonatal nursing and how powerful it was in my life, and then also to encourage, in particular, neonatal nurses to really think of families and parents as integral partners in the care, and that, you know, just to emphasize what an incredible difference it makes to a family, what an incredible difference it makes to a family when you really see them and engage with them and help them understand what's happening. Because it's not just my own experience, but in the course of my reporting, I have heard from so many families who just want to tell me about a NICU nurse who made this incredible difference for them. Or sometimes they have stories that are really upsetting, and are, you know, are things that shouldn't have happened. So I hear a lot of really profound experiences from people when I do report on these things, and I think building those bridges between families and the public and nurses is important, because I do see that relationship between nurses and patients, or nurses and families, as really fundamental to good healthcare.
Absolutely, and I think this comes at such a really good time, because during the COVID pandemic, I think we lost a lot of our touch with the families because of visitor restrictions. And we also see a lot of staff turnover that occurred during that time as well. And they may not be aware of the impact that families have on the outcomes of these babies. So this special series comes out at a really important time, because I think that some new to practice NICU nurses need to be reintroduced to that concept. And how can they, like Sarah said, how can we support these parents and tell them the good and the bad of ways to communicate, incorporate them in everyday care in the NICU, because they are the ones that have such a tremendous impact on the outcome of their child in the NICU.
So I had my daughter in August of 2022, which was not peak pandemic by any means, but we were still very much impacted by COVID. And one of my biggest stressors was, what if one of us tests positive and now I'm out of the NICU for 10 days or 5 days or whatever research they're using to kick me out of the NICU with? And from a professional understanding, I get it. I understand the risks. I know that these babies are vulnerable, that it was in a novel virus. We didn't know what to do. I didn't want my baby to be sick from anything, you know, so I understood it from the professional side. But the parenting side, I was terrified that they were going to take me away from my baby. And it was still one of my biggest, you can hear me get emotional. It's still one of my biggest triggers when I talk about it, because I can't believe we made it 75 days without a scare, you know, because I remember teaching people during that time and trying to fight for parents' access to their babies. And we're not going to limit it. How can we limit it the least amount possible? Like, these babies need their families. They need their families. They need their caregivers. The families and the caregivers need the connection with the baby. We know through years of research that one of the best supporters in development and getting that baby home is the relationship with the family and the engagement with the family. And if we stopped that, and if we keep restricting that, it is going to have outcomes, like limitations on our outcomes for long term. And so I spent my entire time during that time advocating with my leadership in my unit, and, you know, with my staff, of being like, no, we still need to have this connection. And it's something that I incorporate into all of my education with my new grads, is just trying to get them to understand that the baby is your patient, but so is the family. And that relationship with them has to be at the forefront of every decision.
I totally agree with Jesse. And around 2021, I wrote a story about parental restrictions in the NICU as a result of the pandemic. And what I found from the people I spoke with is just a tremendous amount of trauma, The idea that, you know, one parent at a time, for instance, could be in the NICU, but that leaves perhaps, you know, either the mother or the father without the support of the other. Sometimes even having no parents in the NICU. And I do understand why those decisions were made. However, even the way they were talked about, I found very problematic. The idea of visitor restrictions. Parents are not visitors in the NICU. They are part of the care team. The babies are theirs, right? There is a long history of this sort of push-pull about sort of whose baby is this a little bit. In the history of neonatology, you know, when the first neonatal ICUs were developed around the 50s, parents were not allowed at all, or it was very heavily restricted to visitor hours. And that was an amazing time of progress, right? I mean, we have made in the past 75 years the most incredible progress in treating premature babies. But one of the things that happened was that parents' connection with the babies was sacrificed in the attempts to care for these babies. And one of the really lovely things about progress is that all of this research and a lot of providers like you all, researchers, who have really made the case that parents are absolutely necessary in the NICU for their baby's outcome and the health of the family, each is inextricable from the other. You can't separate the wellness of the parents from the wellness of the baby. And what was disturbing about what happened with the pandemic was that I really saw us kind of going backwards, and this sense of, that we have to clamp down and control the environment, which again, I understand, but the idea that parents are visitors and therefore we can bar them from their babies, I just, except for in the very beginning, I don't think that that was probably the most evidence-based way to go about it. But then again, I also understand that we had very little evidence about COVID. So, that's been tricky. And what Jill points out about, new neonatal nurses perhaps having come up in a time when parents were not as much around, that's really interesting. And you're right, this is a time that I think it's important to really, really emphasize that.
Yeah, and I can kind of speak directly to what Sarah was saying and both Jesse about their particular experience. This was something that I was very concerned about, again, right in the early days of the pandemic. And so I shifted some of my research that I was conducting at that time, during my postdoc, to specifically look at kind of parent and or the neonatal experiences during the COVID pandemic. And part of that research, we were able to ask, it was from an online survey, but parents from all across the country, had access to the survey and were able to answer the questions. And the comments that they provided and the stories that they shared with us, it really changed, not so much maybe changed my perspective, but it gave me this new way of thinking and this new language around how we treat families in the NICU. And as challenging as it may be, I think a lot of it helped me really frame it around this idea that there is a power structure. There is some hierarchy in the NICU that is evident, and we need to acknowledge that. And one of the most surprising and valuable things that came out of that research was that parents were reflecting back to us in this survey, well, we are essential care. So in the early days of the pandemic, everyone was talking about who's essential care, who can leave the house, all of these things, again, because we're trying to figure out what to do with this novel virus. But parents were then taking that language that was already new in this cultural lexicon and then giving it back to us and saying, no, I'm essential. Like, this is who I am and this is where I should be. And it blew me away how thoughtful some of these comments were. And so, especially as we were thinking, as we're now thinking about new grads and, all the turnover, and many nurses started during the pandemic. And so their experience was, without families. And now we're trying to kind of, reframe their thinking like, no, this is how things actually are to, are what they can look like. There is a policy statement that NAN, the National Association of Neonatal Nurses, the National Perinatal Association, and AWON, those three kind of leading professional organizations, we came together and did a consensus statement around parents as providing essential care in the NICU. But it was a way to really take the research out of just a publication, that only certain people may have access to, or not everyone may be able to see kind of these qualitative comments, but really how do we give language back to hospital administrators, to nurses that are in a NICU that still had visitor restrictions or whatever it may be, but really language to help bring this idea of family-centered care back into the forefront, but give it kind of a new flavor around this idea of essential care.
Yeah, as a professional, I was so excited to see the response when parents were allowed back in. And I use the word allowed just because there was a restriction, right? It should never be looked at that. I agree with what Sarah had said earlier about how parents are not visitors, right? But when we were allowed in and we had those resources went back, the references that came out from the professional organizations really put strength to that idea. And as a professional who had always subscribed to that theory, I was like, look, now I have something I can quote. I have evidence. I have research. I have something I can print and put in the break room and be like, we have to do this, guys. Listen, they're telling us to do this. And so it gave me a lot of hope, even though there were parts of my NICU journey as a parent that were less than ideal. And I had a lot of some opportunities for some improvement. I also saw the hope in what we could achieve. You know, if we really put ourselves together professionally and got critical of our practice and looked at it and said, how could we hold space for these parents better? How could we facilitate the act of being a parent and the act of being a family better? When we put our collective mindset to that, imagine what we could accomplish.
So we talked a lot, Ashley mentioned it, Jesse and Sarah, about language and using the kind of language that would help parents and not say visitors versus parents. They're not visitors. They're part of the care team. What language can nurses use to facilitate those really helpful relationships to increase parents to feel more comfortable that they are part of the care team?
I wanted to echo back what Ashley said a little bit about the power structure, because what I hear you all saying is so fantastic about parents advocating for themselves. But I will say, as a parent who is not a healthcare provider, it was not obvious to me that I was essential. I mean, I felt as far from essential as you could possibly be. Like, I was like, it's, you know, and this is a common feeling that parents have. This is not based in reality, but I had the sense that, you know, it's my fault that she's here. Now all these incredible experts are taking care of her. I don't understand a word that they're saying. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand the technology. I can barely see my child under the technology. And I felt entirely, extra. Like, what am I going to do? You know? And so I do think it is sort of on nurses and on the healthcare team to make it obvious to parents that they are not extra, that they are essential. I mean, some people come into it with that sense, but a lot of people don't. And I think that one of the best things nurses can do is actually just engage with you on a human level. And I know this is hard because nurses are so busy and they're so stretched and there's, you know, there are critical things happening in the NICU. But as much as is possible to engage with a family about normal life, because part of what I really felt a loss of was like the sense of myself as a person and the sense of myself as a mother, like the mother that I wanted to be. And the more of a relationship that I had with a nurse, the easier it was for me to ask questions or to ask, like, can I do this? And I think it's important for nurses to say, this is your baby. Do you want to change their diaper? Let me show you how to do it. Or, explaining why kangaroo care is important, you know, explaining that actually you do have some control. You know, you're not taking care of your baby the way you hoped to, but you are still taking care of your baby. So here's how you can take care of your baby in the NICU. It's like this and like this and like this. So I think because of that power structure, because nurses are really the ones who are the liaisons with the families, they are the ones who build the relationships with the families. I do think it's incredibly helpful when nurses can be very, very clear and welcoming about the fact that, you know, you're not taking care of your baby the way that you hoped to at home, right? But you are still this child's parent. You are still taking care of your baby, and your baby needs you. And here are some ways that you can take care of your baby. You know, when you do kangaroo care, you know, some families might find it really comforting to hear some of the research around how kangaroo care is effective. So they really feel like they are effective as parents, or they might, you know, really, if they are pumping for breast milk, it might be helpful for them to hear about the research behind that. Some families may not want to hear about the research. They might just want to have like a really good connection with their nurse and to understand that they're important. Like everything else, you know, every family is different. But I do think that the really important takeaway is that in order to provide the best care for the baby, it is really important that nurses bring in the parents, like welcome them, really support them to do tasks in the NICU. Because I, speaking for myself, I was so afraid I was going to hurt my daughter. She was so small. I didn't understand the technology. And so I just needed a lot of support from our nurses to understand that what I could do for her was still important.
I was just going to, I completely agree, Sarah. We have to do our part in holding place for what the parent identifies as important to them. And we can't do that if we don't ask. Some of the best days I had in the NICU was when I would be with a nurse who either, whether I knew them professionally or I had just met them, but they would take the time to say, like, what are your goals today? Like, what are we going to do today? What's your plan? I know you're here all day, but what are you hoping to do? What's our goal with Aurelia? And it was just really that intentional reaching out to the family and saying, what matters to you? Can I find a way to tie my tasks, my care, my routine? Can I find a way to tie it to what you're expecting? Because it really helps put value in the parent's role, because then together you can make a plan of, well, I know you need to weigh her, but I would also like to do some skin to skin. So can we maybe coordinate it to where you weigh her and then we do skin to skin to help calm her down from the stress of the weight? Or you need to change her isolette. Can we do her bath and change her isolette? And then I can hold her while you get it all settled and get it straightened out. And it found a way for like teamwork to exist between the parent and the healthcare team.
Yeah, it's so important what Jesse said. It's so important. I also felt really, and again, I know this is hard because nurses have so much to do. Oftentimes staffing can be an issue or critical things are happening. But when there is time, I found it incredibly healing when nurses would just talk to me like I was a person, you know, instead of like conveying information, you know, instead of every encounter being about conveying information, for there to be some sort of sense that we were in it together, and that I could bring who I was to the NICU, in whatever that might mean to somebody. It feels really healing, and sort of like I felt like I was being put back together a little bit when I felt that I was having like a real relationship with a nurse.
No, I think that's a great point. I have a lot of professional stories from my career of crossing that line with a family, right? Figuring out who you are and how can we work with you here for the success of everybody, right? And one of my challenges in the NICU is I was often told, don't be a nurse, don't be an educator, just be her mom. That's all you are right now. And that's never all who I am right now. Like, I'm always all of the things, right? Like, who our identity is wrapped up into intersectionality, right? Like, and so I was constantly being told to turn off half of who I was to make it easy for the team. And I think that was one of the biggest downfalls, because I thought with all my privilege professionally and personally, you know, I could kind of see through where they were coming from and try to meet them in the middle. But how many families were basically asked to deny who they are, right, in exchange for comfortability in the NICU? So I think what Sarah says is actually really a very important part, and a really easy part to do. Try to get to know the family as a person, so that you can engage them in a way that's meaningful, because it helps protect the parent from trauma, and it also helps make your shift easier. Like, even if you just want to look at it from a purely selfish way of what's going to get me through my 12 hours, which is kind of a sad way to look at it, but some people might, right? It makes it easier to go through when you feel like you can communicate with somebody with ease and the roles aren't so hierarchical like we referenced
earlier. That's so real. I It's funny that you say that because, you know, when I had my daughter, I was an editor. I mean, I'm a journalist. And so part of what is natural to me is that I take notes. I also had, you know, both of my parents died young. And so I'd had a lot of experiences in adult ICUs where I knew it was important that I take notes. And one day I was sitting there it was maybe my daughter's second day of life. I was taking notes at rounds. And one of the residents looked at me and he started laughing and he said, "Oh, mommy's taking notes." And I was like, oh, like, and you know, obviously that was inappropriate, but at the time I was honestly just embarrassed. I was embarrassed because I was like, oh, like my way of doing things and who I am is not useful here. And it's like, I'm just mom. And it's, you know, it's cute that I would even try to understand what they're saying. Or it's funny. And he didn't, you know, he didn't probably think anything of it. He didn't necessarily mean anything by it, but it was sort of it told me that my way of doing things was not applicable or important. And I think that should be avoided.
I just wanted to insert and say from a clinician perspective, from a nursing perspective, hearing you guys share such vulnerable stories or just how the impact of simple comments or offhanded comments that we know were likely not like meant to be rude or meant to be shaming or difficult. But I think there's this recognition in you guys sharing these experiences that we can take back with us clinically to know that we as providers are often in very different places than our parents. And so being very intentional or being very mindful about even those quippy remarks or those offhanded remarks, you know, kind of going back to what language is useful, I think sometimes we can take a step back and look and maybe consider what language is not useful or what things should we really try to remove kind of from our interactions, you know, with families and parents, because unless we're really sitting down and trying to understand, you know, who, you know, where Sarah's coming from, you know, why she was taking notes or all the, you know, noticing, you know, kind of who she is and who she's bringing to this unit and to the interaction with her infant, you know, we need to be really careful about those things because, again, that was a moment that clearly now has stuck with her. And so I think as providers, knowing that there's more, not that we're adding tasks or we're adding more to your to-do list, but really considering the other person's perspective. How would this be perceived or how might this come across if it is somebody that you don't you're meeting for the first time or just taking care of their infant in the first few days? You know, I think there are elements of the things that we can do or the language that we can say that is very validating and acknowledges the parent experience. But I think we need to highlight that there are likely things that is said or done that we also need to remove that would then also help support parents.
I want to add to what you said, actually, because I think I always ask students and new grads in about to first think about their own behavior on their worst day and things that they have done on their worst day that they didn't, you know, that they didn't behave as themselves, that everything just was out of sorts, that they didn't hear anything, that things didn't happen. And then I remind them that the parent or the family that we're meeting is on their worst day and that we should give them the grace of being on their worst day.
Yeah. One of the points I tried to drive home in my editorial was this concept of toxic positivity and how it plays out in the NICU. I think a lot of what we do is we center our own experiences as professionals, because I think we're cognizant and we're intelligent enough to understand that this is a crisis, right? But we're also familiar with functioning in that crisis. And so we can see things like, oh, he's just a 34-weeker. He'll be fine. Because to us, we have a lot of professional experience that tells us that he probably will be just fine. But to that family, nothing about this is fine. Not one moment of this is the way that they thought things were going to go when they found out they were pregnant, or when they came into the hospital and realized they were in labor, or had to have a, you know, other methods of delivery. And like, it is so basic to me to think of that a concept of perspective taking and kind of just assuming that somebody else sees this from a different angle. And if you don't elicit what their perspective is, then you're just driving their perspective away. And you're basically showing them that perspective doesn't matter, that it's not helpful here. And, you know, things as simple as, well, you know, at least he's 34 weeks now, or at least he's off the ventilator, or at least he's only on 40% O's. Yesterday was 50. And like, while I think we come from that as a well-intentioned place, because it is a good thing, we see the needle moving in the right direction and we want to be positive. But to that family, potentially, it's actually more coming across as invalidation, because it's telling them that the stress and the worry that they're feeling and that they're sitting in and living in minute to minute doesn't matter. And everyone else thinks everything's fine, and I must be crazy. Something's wrong with me for being concerned. And it's going to be hard, because I think as a society in general, we tend to practice a lot of toxic positivity. But I think just learning to pause and be reflective of our words and our practice will teach us more from our families than just keeping the conversation going in a positive way, because it's what's easy for us.
Yeah. You know, I would ask providers to like think about being in an environment for the first time. Like think about, I think it's so natural and so human when you are so well versed in a particular environment, and it's really, it's you're in your element, right? You understand everything that's going on. You see it completely differently. You almost don't even see it anymore. So I would ask providers to think about when you enter an environment for the first time and you don't know, you're not familiar with the language, you're not familiar with the technology, you're not familiar with the sounds and the sights and the smells. That's what it feels like as a parent when you're entering the NICU for the first time. And of course, as you're saying, not only that, but you're having the worst day of your life. So I often, you know, I think about the NICU as being like this, almost like a coloring book without anything colored in, and you are so, you're just lost. And it's really when nurses can contact you and sort of help you color some of that in, that you feel like you understand the context, you start to feel comfortable. It's just very, it can be very powerful. I think of the NICU as almost like, it's not one space, it's like multiple spaces. Everyone is seeing and experiencing different things. And it can be, I think it can be helpful to try to remember that, even as, of course, you know, providers are so well-versed and so accustomed to being in that environment.
Yeah. I held that space for my husband, because, you know, while I am a, you know, specialist in this, I do this all the time. He was not. And so I would have to kind of play both roles for him. Like I would have to play the advocate role with the team and want to talk shop, figure out what the plan for the day was. What are we concerned about? When are we weaning her? You know, what's her weight going? What are her feeds? You know, he just wanted to know, is she okay? What was that sound? What was that beep? Can I touch her? Am I allowed to do that? And so I found myself running with a duality constantly, whether it was with the medical team or with him. And it particularly is a big part of my trauma, that birth trauma that I'm working through personally, but trying to find that connection with him as her father and as my support, as my spouse, was challenging. And some of the best days were when I had a nurse who did that for me, who could see how lost he was in the moment and could step in and say, hey, Dad, let's talk about this. And like, I could go talk shop with the provider and he could, but my husband was still having his needs met as a parent. And some of those days, like I still think back fondly about of, wow, that person really made a difference for us that day.
Yeah. And I loved what you said about toxic positivity. I think that's so important, especially like that phrasing of at least, like, you know, I've spoken to a lot of parents of later premature babies and that sense that they have of like, you know, their situation being minimized. And I think it's with the, probably with the intent to say like, hey, this is, you know, it's going to be okay. But you're right, for them, it really isn't. The other side of that, that I sometimes share is that I really wished that our care team had, told us about what I think of as the evidence-based optimism, because I felt that no one was willing to say anything. And I was left with the sense that my daughter was probably going to die because I couldn't get them to say that she wasn't going to. And they were very, very focused on just giving me the news of the day and really would not go farther than that. And when I started researching it, I realized that once she was stabilized after maybe the first day or two, after she was off the ventilator, that in fact, the evidence suggests that she probably, that most likely she was going to live. It was highly likely that she was going to live. But I could not get anyone to say that to me. And I really wished that someone had said that. I mean, it's, you know, it's just what the evidence suggests.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really excellent point. Is toxic positivity doesn't mean that you can't be positive at all. You know, it's finding a balance of reality with positivity, because positivity is a part of healthcare. We know that across the age spectrum that we do have to have hope that our patients are going to go home, right? Why else would we do what we do if there's no chance of hope? That's a very small specialty, right? Our shout out to our palliative care cohorts. But there is a place for positivity. I think there's just a way to center the parent's experience in it, rather than kind of diminish the parent's experience by saying, you know, kind of focusing on that kind of retroactive positivity is kind of how I think about it. Well, at least she's not still this. At least she's not still that. And you're like, well, okay, but can we talk about what could maybe happen tomorrow? Can we hold space for that hope? And how can I help you do that? You know, I think about what you said earlier about sharing evidence about, you know, skin to skin contact or providing breast milk. Like, how does that help with those positive outcomes? And that can empower the family to really take hold of that place in on the care team and take pride in the fact that nobody else can give my baby breast milk but me. Nobody else can hold my baby skin to skin but me and my partner. So I'm going to do this and I'm helping my baby by doing
100%.
I'm just sitting here in amazement listening to all of this and reflecting on my practice and how I can change after listening to your perspective. So, but I don't know. I don't know if there's more that you guys want to say that we can include that's like a way to kind of close up the episode.
I can share about a nurse who was special to me. Our weekend nurse, her name was Kavita, and what I loved about Kavita was that she was very, very calm, and she was very, I could tell that she really considered everything that she said and everything that she did. She was incredibly gentle with my daughter, Mira, and she was gentle with me too. And she would come in and she would just stand there and look at Mira. And she would always begin her assessments with just much more watching, like very, very quiet watching than I saw anybody else do. And I sort of watched her watching Mira, and it was very powerful for me because then I could see that actually Mira was telling us things. You know, I felt so distracted by the monitors and the technology. But Kavita sort of modeled for me that the focus was on Mira and that I could do that too. And she was just incredibly gentle with me. She always chatted with me. She talked about Mira like a person, you know, not a patient, like a person. And she really just in such a sort of quiet and natural way, like really made me feel like a mother and made me feel like a person again. And I will never forget, it was incredibly, I'll just never forget her. I'll never forget her. And, you know, all of our relationships weren't like that. There were, you know, there were things that probably didn't go exactly, that didn't go as well as that. But, I always think about like the potential for the way that neonatal nurses can completely transform a family's experience, which then allows people or, you know, supports people to really feel like parents and to feel like they know what they're doing and that they're, you know, they're not broken. It's just, it's such a huge potential and it's such a powerful thing. So I guess I would like to say that, I'm so grateful when neonatal nurses like let the humanity in, like let the relationships happen, because I know that's not easy actually always, but it makes such a difference.
Yeah, I have a list of nurses that I'm running through in my head right now. I hesitate to name names. I don't want to leave anybody out. But while I hold space for both parts of my experience, the good and the bad, when it was good, it was good. You know, and I was really proud to look back at my colleagues and see what they were able to do for me and my family. And that is what I take pride in as a neonatal nurse and think of the impact that we could have, like Sarah said, the potential to really make or break someone's experience and an experience that they never wanted to have. And I just am hopeful through sharing my story and through doing, you know, situations like this, that part of our stories will land for someone and will sit with them and think, let me reflect a little bit. Let me give myself an opportunity to grow, maybe challenge my own perspectives. And if it makes a difference in 1, 2, 3 families, then that's 1, 2, 3 families that have had a dramatically improved experience. And I believe in our specialty. I believe in my colleagues. I know that we can do this. We just have to be open to learning and open to the growth, even if it's uncomfortable in the very beginning.
Well, I don't think you guys could have summed it up any better. So I just want to say thank you to both Jesse and Sarah for taking time out of your day, out of your busy schedules in your life to share your stories with us, and bring them to our community. And I mean, I'm just left a little speechless, and I just think that your words and your stories are so powerful. So thank you so much for joining us for this special series.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's just, it's, I really appreciate you all. Thank you.
And I want to thank Ashley and Jackie for having this amazing special series and advances. And everybody, keep a lookout for the special series. Thanks, guys, for joining us today. Make sure you never miss an episode of NANcast by subscribing now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks for your support and letting us into your ears. Have a great day.